Ray Fittipaldo brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Save 50% on installation of Gutter Helmet during their fall sale. This month only, 888-5-HELMET. He also joins us on the fan hotline. And that read is somewhere. I'll get to it later. Hi, Ray. How you doing today?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Good, man.
Pretty good.
Steelers active. Omar Khan active at the deadline. And doesn't have to give up a ton, although I thought Mike Williams might come cheaper. You get him for a fifth. You get Preston Smith for a seventh. Before we get into each individual player here, Ray, how do you feel like Omar did prior to the deadline?
Yeah, you mentioned the compensation. Now likely a six for Justin Fields, a seven for Preston Smith, and then a fifth for Mike Williams. I think the Steelers are expecting to get compensatory picks back in the spring. If you look at all the free agents they have, guys, Dan Moore, James Daniels, Najee Harris, Justin Fields, that's four right off the top of my head. If they're not really active in free agency, they're going to be getting some mid-round picks back. So I think that's why Omar felt comfortable making these moves. And the reason he made these moves, I think, obviously, is depth. You know, I don't know that either of these guys are going to come in and command starter snaps, certainly not Preston Smith. I'll maybe allow for Mike Williams to carve out a little bit of a bigger role, but I just think both receiver and outside linebacker slash defensive line needed to bolster the depth a little bit, and Omar did that.
Well, let's say that Mike Williams isn't going to be a starter, and maybe he eventually does become a starter, but how much of an impact do you think that he'll have immediately, and do you think that he'll play this Sunday against the Commanders?
Yeah, as long as there's no lingering injuries that I don't know about from New York, I think he dressed this past weekend and played. He should be good to go. And, yes, I would expect them to get him in here right away. They have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to get him up to speed in the offense. And as long as he can handle the playbook, yeah, I think they'll try to hit the ground running. There's only nine games left. I think you want to work him in as soon as possible. So how does he fit in? I sort of look at him as George Pickens light. You know, if something happens to George Pickens, you got a proven guy who's done it before at the same position. Big guy, big playability in his resume, in his past. They're going to work him onto the field with Pickens as well. But, I think they acquired him just in case something happened to George.
Do you expect Preston Smith to be on the field at the same time as Highsmith and Watt at any point?
I wouldn't expect. You know, I think he's taking the Marvin Leal's position. You know, he's that hybrid defensive line, outside linebacker type. If you look at his height and weight, he's almost the same dimensions as the Marvin Leal. So, he's a guy who has been a longtime starter in this league, including this season with the Packers. Now, Jeff Hafley came in, a little bit different alignment. So he ended up playing 54% of the snaps this past season. That's his lowest percentage since he's been in the league. And I think Lucas Van Ness is ready. You know, they invested a first-round pick in Van Ness. I think they want to give him the starter snap, so that's why he became available. So, I would expect him, first and foremost, to jump into that outside linebacker rotation. But he is a guy at his height and weight who could also play five technique and bump inside a little bit as well.
Did it surprise you that they traded for Preston Smith? And if outside a receiver, what other position did you think that they might have traded for if it wasn't Preston Smith?
Well, like a run-stopping defensive lineman. And, by them not acquiring like a bigger nose to help out, that tells me that Montrevious Adams is probably going to be back soon. I think we saw the absence of Adams kind of hurt them the last couple of weeks when it came to the run defense. So, I think they're counting on Mon Adams coming back, and I think that'll be good. If you look at outside linebackers, it's been an issue going back to training camp. They thought they had Marcus Golden, who was going to come in and play the same role he did last year. He didn't want to play football anymore, and they've kind of been, just making it work with a patchwork combination of practice squad guys and getting guys from other teams, for the past month or so when Highsmith was hurt. Now that you have everyone healthy, I think you get back into a really good rotation. Herbig is the number three. Preston Smith doesn't have to play a lot, but he could be really impactful as a guy who can play 15, 20% of the snaps every week. You don't have to kill TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith playing those guys 80-85% of the snaps. You could be a little bit more judicious in how you play those guys.
Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. There's many different ways, I guess, I could ask this question. I'll keep it simple. How good are the Steelers?
Yeah, we're going to find out, right? The second half of the schedule is finally here. We've been talking about it since May when the schedule came out. So I think everybody is kind of in a wait and see mode. But the nice thing for the Steelers, Adam, is they're 6-2. They could afford to go 4-5 or 5-4 in the second half of the season and still be in pretty good position to make the playoffs. Now, if you go 4-5, you're probably not going to win the North. You know, you're probably going to be a wild card. That's not ideal. But listen, if you go 5-4, the Ravens have a heck of a back end of their schedule too. I think 11-6 might get it done, depending on how the tiebreakers work out. So they're in a really good spot. I don't think anyone expects them to, you know, to win 3 out of every 4 like they did in the first half of the season. But, you know, they've put themselves in position to be a factor in the AFC. And I think Omar's moves yesterday speaks to that. He wanted to give this team every opportunity to be a factor, to be a contender in the AFC, and I think that's the reason why he made those moves.
Ray, what do you think benefits the Steelers more in tomorrow night's divisional matchup? You got the Bengals, you got the Ravens. For who to win, yeah. What benefits the Steelers more in that game?
I think you want to knock the Ravens down and get in position where you have a shot to win the AFC North and be a 2-3 or a 4 seed. No one's going to catch the Kansas City Chiefs. They're too far out ahead, I think. I think they're on track to probably, you know, go 14-3, 15-2, something like that. But if you can get in position with, you know, 11 wins, I think you could be a 3 seed at worst, a 4 seed, and have a home playoff game. And I think that gives you a much better chance of winning on the road in the postseason. We saw what happened last year in Buffalo. We've seen it in Kansas City. It's really tough to go on the road as a 7 or a 6 seed and play those really good teams at the top of the conference.
Ray, appreciate the time as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week after Steelers Commanders.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Thanks, Ray. Fittipaldo.
I kind of thought about being a massive jackhole to him and just being like, hey, Ray, who'd you vote for? And just have him like, oh, wow. I am really excited about this Cincinnati Ravens matchup tomorrow night because both offenses elite, but elite different, and both defenses no good.
Right.
I think Baltimore's offense is better than Cincinnati's offense, but I also think Baltimore's defense is terrible and Cincinnati's defense is merely bad. So I'm expecting a ton of points, dude.
Ton.
The over under 52.5 for that game, I'm guessing that's the highest in the league this week. And yeah, it is 52.5. Let's go. Might be pounding the over on that one.
Absolutely.
San Fran at Tampa at 51.5. Just for curious minds out there. And one more, Miami at Los Angeles, 50.5. So there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's react to some of what Ray had to say coming up next. Specifically, he said, look, they can go 4-5, 5-4 down the stretch and still make the playoffs. Aren't we shooting for more than that? Like 4-5 would not please me, even with the second half schedule. 5-4, I don't think gets it done for me. 6-3, sitting there then at what? 12-5? I don't think you're winning the division with 11 wins. I think you got to get to 12-5. And that should be the most pressing goal for the Steelers, is win the division. And then everything else should come easier after that. Then you get home games. We'll talk about that when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. What do you think about Omar Khan's moves from yesterday? You can grade them, but we want to hear from you, and not just on the Twitter poll. You can call us with that as well at 412-928-9370. Right now, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. 412-928-9370. That's phone number. You can text us on that number. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So Ray said, Steelers fans, look at the second half of the schedule. It's tough. You go 4-5. You're making the playoffs, 10-7. I do think 10-7 gets you in the AFC this year. You go 5-4, and, well, you're 11-6, and maybe you've got a shot at the division, depending on where those wins come. I don't know, man. Like, as circumstances change, you've heard me say this a million times, so too should opinion. I had high expectations-ish for Russ this year, and I thought the Steelers could be a good football team. Then I saw Russ, and I think he's been better than I thought he would be. They're running the ball better than I thought they would. They're scoring more than I thought they would. They've got depth at quarterback. Defensively, time will tell with this second half schedule and all the offenses they play. I get it. But you've been better than you were last year. So I thought they could be a playoff team coming in. Thought they would be a playoff team coming in. Well, now at 6-2 at the turn, my expectation is division. You're good enough to win the division. Mm. It's all out there in front of you. And I think at this point, the way I look at it is, if you don't win the division for being as good of a football team as I think they are, I think that's a disappointment. Like, it was, get in, win a playoff game. Please, it's been too long. Now for me, it's win the division and then go win a playoff game. I think they're that good. Am I off base here?
I think we have to give it a little more time because, you know, we talked about beating the teams you need to beat, and that was the last two games that we've seen underneath Russell Wilson. Now you have to beat the teams that are good, and you have to prove that you are that good. It's all about proving the rest of the way of how good you actually are. That's why we keep talking about how crucial these next two games are, and I'm starting to agree with you that they need to win these next two games. They need to go 2-0 because if you do that, then you really control your own destiny. But you also have proved that not only can you beat the teams that are bad, you can beat good teams with good quarterback play, with high-powered offenses. You can either slow those offenses down or keep up with those offenses.
Yeah.
And we talk about them being that balanced team. That is how you win. Like, you either slow it down or you keep up or you do both. And then you win. So these next two games, that offers every single angle that you need to kind of figure out what the Steelers are and how good they can be. And that's why I am starting to lean towards, they probably do have to win these next two games just to prove that they are worthy of winning a division.
And to your point, the way it happens is interesting too. It's fascinating, really, and it might be more of a really good Friday conversation. Like, do you want to see the Steelers defense go out and shut down what is a very good Washington offense? Or is it the more realistic viewpoint, I think, which is, hey, you need your defense to make plays. They're probably going to give up yards. They might give up in the 20s, and you got to outscore them. Like, what do people want to see more?
Right.
Like, outscore a great offense, which they haven't done in years, or go and shut down a great offense, which really, apart from two games come to mind, Cincinnati to open a season where Joe Burrow came off the appendix, and he had 5 turnovers,
yep,
and he plays the worst game of his career. And then the same kind of deal happened the year before that against Buffalo,
yep,
where it was the first game of the season, and you play really well defensively. Offenses not caught up as fast as defenses were. Apart from that, when they play good offenses, they've got chewed up. They got chewed up. Like, Houston last year comes to mind. I mean, anytime they play Indianapolis comes to mind. That happened this year. So, I don't know. I'm caught in between on that. Just win the game. Win the game. You win the game, I think we're all going to feel really good about the Steelers having beat a good team, but I am fascinated to see kind of how they win, if they win, or if they win. Texter, Crowley, you're way off base as usual. Oh, thanks for that. 3-5 going down the stretch is what seems realistic, and that ain't winning the division. Why are we, I think I have the answer already, but why are we just expecting failure? Like, 3-9 gets you to 9-8
miserable
again.
People all the time. Everybody's miserable all the time. They want the negative so they can complain.
Okay, that's part of it. That's part of that. Wasn't what I was going to say.
Yeah, I know.
What I was going to say is just the other shoe has tended to drop these last few years, even going back to 2020. Hey, we're 11-0. Hey, it's a party. We're having a great time. Oh, God, what happened here? Like, the other shoe dropped. You know, Kenny Pickett's doing a thing. You come out last year, you're actually winning football games, but then you lose to Cleveland and their 15th string quarterback. So the other shoe has tended to drop. I just think this team's better than that. I just think this team's better than the previous incarnations of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So 3-5 is a massive disappointment.
Yes.
Matt, I don't care who you're playing. That's a massive disappointment. And I'm just saying, Steelers fans, it's okay to acknowledge that this team is good. I feel like we kind of twisted ourselves into pretzels the last few years of trying to find more good than actually existed. I just think you're good now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the numbers back that up.
But is it good enough, Adam? I don't. That's where I'm like hesitant and wait and want to wait to see. I don't know if they're good enough. They're a good football team. Yeah, like they're balanced. They do a lot of things well. They've beaten teams that they should have beaten. They've beaten teams with a quarterback that wasn't going to be their starter in the beginning of the year, and they had to alter their offense. They've had to, you know, fix their defense with communication issues. They've done some good things, but are they good enough is the real question.
Yeah, just being better than what you were ain't the job.
Mm-mm.
The job is being good enough to win some games mm-hmm. against good teams.
Yes.
And hopefully in January. No, I get that. And you are going to find out these next couple of weeks for sure. Like, these are two great tests right out of the bye.
Oh, my gosh.
Right out of the bye. I don't look at... I did this whole thing while you were gone where we focus so much on the warts of the football team that we watch for 4 hours every week, whether it's your college team, whether it's your pro team, and we pick out the flaw. Oh, they can't tackle, or, oh, man, they give up big passing plays, or whatever it is, right? Well... You zoom in on the Bills, and you up until, actually still, because they just beat Miami, they haven't beat a playoff team this year. When they played playoff teams, they've lost to them. Cincinnati's 1-4 at home, so that's not good. Their defense is bad. Baltimore's pass defense, one of the worst in the NFL, and unless they manufacture pressure, they can't get pressure. Point being, all these other teams, we don't focus on them as much. They're all flawed, too. The only team I won't acknowledge any flaws on is Kansas City. Because they just find ways to win, Kansas City. Anybody else, they're all terribly flawed.
Yeah.
So it's not just the Steelers that you go, oh boy, the rush defense. Well, okay, how about Baltimore and oh boy, the defense? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to view the Steelers relative to their competition.
How
too.
Flawed are the Steelers compared to the other teams, though? Like, that's another question as well. Like,
I think less so.
I do too, because they haven't lost those significant games that they should have. Like, the Ravens are more flawed in my mind than the Steelers because they lost to the Raiders and they lost to the Browns.
Yes, and they lost to the Raiders and they had a 10-point lead at home. The Raiders are a dumpster fire. And I look at the Steelers and you could argue, okay, Indianapolis, bad loss, and you can argue Dallas, bad loss. I hear that. Especially Dallas, because it was right there and they're missing Parsons and they're missing Lawrence. You also went 4-2 with your backup quarterback, who is clearly, upon seeing Russ, your backup quarterback. So I don't think the Steelers' bad losses are as bad as some of these other teams' bad losses when you stack them up against each other, because you weren't playing with your guy at QB. I factor that in. All right, we're going to go around college football and around the NFL for the next half hour. We'll take some more calls on the Steelers. Jimmy and others who are waiting patiently will get to you first at 412-928-9370. First college football playoff rankings came out last night. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't surprised to see where Pitt landed. We'll get to that and more. But first, a Charlie Borges fan headline. We're going to get into the college football playoff in a minute or two, where Pitt landed in the first CFP rankings. Here's a text, though, first. Tomlin isn't some savant for starting Russell Wilson. He only did it so they didn't have to pay Fields. And what? That makes him a future Hall of Fame coach? No, he's a future Hall of Fame coach on merit. Cowher got in. He's going to get in. That's a fact. Mike Tomlin will be wearing a gold jacket one day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even debatable. Nope. It's going to happen. And as much as it nauseates me to have to say this, I'm going to say it because it bolsters this point. He never had a losing season. He's won a Super Bowl championship. He's been to another. And yes, the playoff record's not good enough. It's why I have criticized Mike Tomlin, but he is going to be a Hall of Famer. Maybe the Fields thing had something to do with money. I think mostly it had to do with they want to win a playoff game at the very least this year. And it was an unpopular move at the time, according to some reports in the locker room. But find a national media member who said, go to Russ. Find local people who said, go to Russ. We were all riding Justin Fields. And so for him to do that, he was zigging when everyone else was zagging. And it's easy to say now he made the right call. But in the moment, that was a ballsy decision.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a really good job this year. And we are right now evaluating him for this year. Shall I go to the phones?
Sure.
Jimmy in Detroit. Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, guys. Awesome show. Only problem is you guys got too many bills to pay, a lot of commercials, but born and raised here.
Jimmy, how do you think I can afford my mansion, bro?
Guys, man, you're killing me with the commercials. I listen every day, and I'm sick, you know.
I get it, Jimmy. You got any football?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of I was about ready to give up on the Steelers. It looked like another 9-8, 9-8, 9-8, 10-7 thing. But it's kind of like I told everybody around here, because I get a lot of criticism for being a Steeler fan. I felt like it was time to just get off this train, and then in came Russell Wilson. And obviously what happened yesterday I think is big, because I was on the dumping the Omar Khan thing too, and I think it was...
Oh, I would have been in the same boat, Jimmy. If he didn't do anything yesterday, if he would have sat on his hands, I'd have been really frustrated today. But he didn't. Made a couple of good acquisitions. Didn't give up a ton. So I think you have to be optimistic about Omar Khan too. Upon further review, I can see his viewpoint about the Justin Fields-led Steelers. Like, I think you had more full game success than you did with Pickett, but I think the analyzing of it was fairly similar. Like, there were inconsistencies, and you weren't putting up a ton of points, and so it looked a lot like last year's Steelers team. Like, last year's Steelers team was like the Mick Ultra version, and this is like the Miller Lite version.
Yeah.
Like, where was it going to go? With Russ, I think he's transformed the whole deal here.
Yeah.
And so, don't worry about the Justin Fields side of things. Now, you got Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Be happy.
Mm-hmm.
College football playoff?
Sure.
Let's do it. We're going around college ball, brought to you by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh trusted tire source since 2009. How about the Pittsburgh Panthers, Doran? 18th in the first college football playoff rankings. I thought it would be more in line, frankly, with the AP. And it wasn't.
Yeah, a lot higher than I thought, too, and especially coming off that loss. But I guess quality loss, and I guess they factored that stuff in.
They sure seem to.
Yeah, like the quality loss. I mean, that if there's a quality loss, that is the definition of a quality loss, what happened on Saturday in Dallas. That is quality losing.
Because I think
they got beaten every facet of the damn game. Like, that was bad.
You can't find a way to lose to a good team as thoroughly as Pitt did.
Nope.
That was a complete loss right there.
That was. So,
hey, they put a value on winning, which is important to me, because you didn't really know how this was going to go the first time around. I was really surprised to see Indiana included in this.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
I thought they'd be higher.
See, they're undefeated, but and they've handled their bit. Like, they beat some teams.
Yes.
So, like, game control, which I guess is a big metric, they really haven't trailed.
Right.
They trailed this weekend, and
by
then they...
like 10. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
In the game.
And then they blew the doors off of them. So much so that they hired Daniel Holgorsen, did Nebraska. But I was just happy to see... Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
They brought him on as an offensive consultant, Doran.
Okay.
Which I think is a good role for one Dana, because he can still have his bourbons and cigarettes. But that's neither here nor there. Indiana's won a lot of games. You can only beat who you got on your schedule. And so that should be valued. I was happy to see them included. You know what also got my attention? Notre Dame at Penn State in a potential playoff game.
Yes.
So the Fighting Irish in Happy Valley. I think that's one of them deals. If you beat Notre Dame and you're James Franklin, you probably exhale.
Yes.
It's a marquee program. It's a playoff game at home. Would obviously be a top 10 team at home. And I think for an offseason, okay, maybe you exhale a little bit.
If you win.
If you win.
Yeah.
If you lose. You want to talk about pitchforks and torches?
It's over.
I think so, too. Because it's very much, okay, change the colors, change the logo. Brand comes into your place and beats you. It's
twice.
The same thing. Right, I mean,
just like last week?
Exactly.
That's
the same thing. Losing to Notre Dame at home is the same thing as losing to Michigan at home. Yep. The same thing as losing to Ohio State at home. It would mean that you're one of the 12 best teams in the country, as they've been for a long time, but you're also not good enough to get over that hump against a historical opponent. So, God, I would sign in blood for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame, Penn State.
When's the last time Notre Dame played at Penn State? Like, I feel like I don't remember that being... And maybe it was like maybe a couple years. I don't remember seeing that in a long time.
I'm on it.
Okay. Like, that would be no, nothing yet.
They only played 19 times in their history. Yeah.
That would be something to see.
That's brands.
Yes.
That's brands. As for Pitt, I think this means that you went out and you're going to have a shot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if you don't play in the ACC title game, because SMU controls their own destiny.
Miami.
And Miami controls their own destiny, and their schedules aren't all that hard. So those teams went out regardless of what Pitt does. They're going to be in the championship game. But 11-1, as we're seeing here, that, again, wins matter, and they'll have had then two quality wins in a ranked Louisville and a ranked Clemson. Yeah, I think they'd have a puncher's chance.
For sure.
For sure. Now, the thing that would worry you would be, like, who is Texas beat? They beat Michigan on the road. Michigan's no good this year.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're no good. Alabama has two losses, right?
Yes.
Or no?
Vanderbilt, did they lose to Georgia?
They beat Georgia.
They beat Georgia.
They beat Georgia.
I feel like them too.
So, like, I think I was also encouraged to see Boise State included now. I didn't think that the Group of Five team would be included in the top 12 until the end of the season. But maybe I just didn't have an understanding of how they were going to meet this whole thing out. But I think that's encouraging if you're a Pitt fan.
That's Tennessee, Alabama.
That's right, they did. So you got Bama in there with two losses. That would be the impediment to Pitt, right, is two loss Big Ten schools, two loss SEC schools, which was always kind of the fear. And also the reason why this whole damn thing was created was to help the SEC and the Big Ten.
Right. But, I mean, are you taking that Vanderbilt loss? I don't know if that really matters.
It's not as bad of a loss as it looked like at the time.
Now they're 20. They're ranked now. So
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which I think
I was surprised though with Pitt, like how high they were ranked.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day,
because just calling it like we see it, they don't have a ton of quality wins. Like and that's again just like Indiana, through no fault of your own, you play who you play. Pitt lost to the only ranked team they played. But they also took care of business in the other seven games. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that the committee looked at that from a Pitt fan perspective and says, okay, yeah, you win games. That's very important. So win out, get two more quality wins, and Pitt's got a chance at this thing.
Yep.
And I think Louisville's the toughest game on their schedule. Road game. Louisville seems to have found their sea legs. Narduzzi's Pitt teams have historically fared well against Clemson. You know what I mean?
And haven't fared well against Louisville. Well, last year. They actually beat Louisville,
mm-hmm.
and they were ranked.
I think there's a little revenge factor in that, too.
Yeah.
Especially playing at their place. But if Pitt takes care of business, they're going to have a chance here. And I didn't know that would be the case going into yesterday's playoff reveal.
We'll see. It's going to get exciting.
Take care of business against Virginia this week. That much, to be sure.
That is exactly right. That's your focus.
Texter, 2007, the last time Notre Dame played at Penn State. Yeah. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I could have sworn I haven't seen it in a long time, but that would be something.
The reaction from either whatever fan base lost would get me through the offseason. Their fans flipping out. I'll be outstanding.
No doubt.
All right. We've got Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL, look at some of the impactful trades that were made yesterday and how they might affect the Steelers. But first, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. All right. A trip around the NFL. Brought to you by Champ Tires. Pittsburgh trusted tire source since 2009. And by the way, the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I said I'd be worried if the Ravens got a corner. Not super worried about the corner they got. Tre'Davious White, he's not what he used to be, and I think you know that based on the compensation. A swapping of seventh, they basically got the guy for free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people could rub it in my face and turn it around on me and say, well, you're excited about Preston Smith, and he went for a seventh-round pick. Well, first of all, he went for a seventh. Meanwhile, those teams swapped sevenths, and Preston Smith is a depth guy. I think Baltimore would like for somebody to come in and ideally be one of their primary corners.
It just tells me that they were 100% in on Marshawn Lattimore and missed out.
Yes.
And, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, he wasn't what he used to be, but he's still a really good player. They missed out on him, and he went to the Commanders, who the Steelers will see this weekend, and they're like, okay, we need a corner. At least a guy that can come in and compete and maybe give us something extra on the back end.
Yes. And you talked about what competition means in pushing guys. And there is value in that. Like, I don't know that they're a worse team for doing it. I just don't know that they're improved. Deontay Johnson, I think, was a good move for them, though it doesn't address their significant needs on defense. Cincinnati, I don't think they improved all that much. They get Herbert, right?
Yes, running back.
Khalil Herbert, okay. Depth of the running back position. Their defense isn't very good. And so I think the Steelers got better yesterday, or at least made better moves yesterday than those two teams. And you got Cleveland at Sellers. The one thing that's of immediate concern, although I think you just put the positive and I think correct spin on it, you're going to take on Lattimore perhaps this weekend. And I would imagine he's going to play.
Yep.
The great thing, he's not a Raven.
Right.
That would be – that. I would pick the Ravens to win the division just with that kind of move.
Yep.
Like that. That's what they needed to do and didn't. You are going to have to see Lattimore this weekend, so it does make things a little bit tougher in Washington.
But you also got a receiver that'll probably play as well, probably the same amount of snaps. So maybe call it a wash.
How much do you think he is going to play this weekend?
10 to 15 snaps.
Couple go balls?
Yep. Easy routes, things that he's used to running. Not make it too difficult for him, make it simple. But he definitely will be out there.
Is it the most obvious thing in the world if you try to run a play-action deep shot to him on the first play?
Yeah, so stop it. Stop it. I'd do it. Why not?
First play, get him involved.
Yep.
Get the confidence going. Show it. Even if you don't complete it, mm-hmm. there's huge value in that. Yeah, they're going to throw it deep to this guy.
I'd run him on a deep post, play action, deep post with George on the opposite side running an over route where I had two options and you could make either or guy happy. You could feel real good by taking a shot and maybe Mike Williams coming down with it and then you're really cooking because you're like, all right, we already have a connection right off the bat. And if that isn't open, if it's double covered or, you know, he just doesn't have a step, you got George underneath to start the game off to keep him happy. Bang.
How about that? You're banging.
Bang.
I like it. Does Doug Whaley like it?
Maybe.
Well, he's going to join us for the next hour here in studio, as it is a Wednesday with Doug Whaley. Who would we rather talk to the day after the trade deadline than a former NFL GM? So Doug with us for the next hour. Can't wait to do it. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High is 69, possible rain in the forecast.